playlist can completely change the course of your day. Do you agree with that? A great playlist can completely change your mood, can completely change your outlook on life, can totally change the course of your day. When I'm in a sour mood, man, when I'm having a rough patch, I put on a playlist, usually George Strait. Anybody? George Strait? Come on. Yeah, cheer for George Strait. First song on the list, it's alphabetical order, is Amarillo by Morning. Anybody know that song? I love that song, right? That song puts me in a great mood. I start singing along. Here's the deal. I don't know why, though, because if you listen to the song, it's kind of sad, right? Like, lost my saddle in Houston, broke my leg in San Antonio. Lost my wife and a girlfriend somewhere along the road. Like, I don't know why that makes me happy. Maybe I'm a psychopath. I don't know. Never been tested. Might be positive, but it does. It makes me happy. I sing along. I love that song. Brooks and Dunn, anybody? I'm a brand new man. Oh, my gosh. That just, the harmonies, a great playlist, a great song can completely change the course of your day. It can completely change your life, completely change your mood. And can we just take a second and celebrate like how far playlists have come over the last 30 years? You know what I'm saying? Like when I was a kid, if you want to make a playlist, or we called it a mixtape back then because you used a tape. If you're under 30, a tape is the thing in the background of the graphic right there, little rectangle. That's a cassette tape. And we used to have to take those and put them in a tape player, and we'd record songs off the radio, like our favorite songs. Or if you're rich and had like a dual tape player, right, you could tape from one tape to another. Or it was a good way to hide music, too. So if you had like an old lame tape that you didn't want to listen to anymore, you could put scotch tape over the holes in the top. Anybody else ever do this? And you could tape other music on there that you didn't want your parents to know you had or something like that. I'm not saying I did that because my mom's here today. And so I probably never did do that. But it might have. I don't know. I can't remember that far back. Might have happened. Playlists, man. And then we graduated to CDs, of course. You know, you could burn CDs off your computer. Anybody come up in the late 90s with Napster? Anybody? Yeah. Come to find out that was illegal, but you know, whatever. I felt like the viruses you got on your computer were bad enough punishment to get the free music, but don't tell the feds, but somewhere I've got like 3 CDs somewhere in a box full of Napster music still that we downloaded and made our own playlist, man. And then if you couldn't do either of those things, then you had to resort to like Time Life, you know, music collections. You remember those infomercials? You ever get sucked into like you never knew how bad you wanted greatest hits from the 80s until you saw Time Life music commercial. Or now that's what I call music. Anybody on that playlist? Yeah, now that's what I call music. Oh man, playlists have come a long way. And now we have streaming services, right? Where you can go on there and make a playlist a mile long of any song you want, anytime, listen to it immediately. Playlists have come a long ways. And I wanted to be helpful today, so I did a little research. Like if you're a Spotify user, I have some playlists for you to check out this week, okay? If you're a playlist person, here's some you can check out. These are very real. You can fact check me. You can go on Spotify and check these out. First, I found a playlist called Sounds for Space-Time Travelers. Yes, Sounds for Space-Time Travelers. So I guess if you liken yourself a space and time traveler, or if you're just like really nerdy, you could go on and listen to Sounds for Space-Time Travelers. That joke went over really well in first service. just a lot of nerds in second service. Sorry I offended you. My bad. There's also a playlist called Public Transit Sounds. So if you like public transit, I've ridden it a few times. It was a horrible experience. Don't know why you'd listen to that. There's a playlist called Calming Cat Music, right? So I guess if you have a rowdy cat or something, you can play the songs. Like, personally, I would just get rid of the cat if it was rowdy, but that's just me, right? And then my favorite one I found, you can go on and listen to this. I did not listen to it, although I will confess to adding it to my library to listen to later, is The Wit and Wisdom of President George W. Bush. I have no idea what that's about, but if you're a fan of W, you can go and listen to that. Go and listen to that this week. Man, playlists. There's playlists for everything. Playlists for every possible mood, every possible occasion, every possible personality. Why is that? That's because music connects with something very deep inside of us, right? Music connects with something very deep in us. Music is a part of the most significant moments of our lives, weddings, funerals, big games, times when we're happy, times when we're sad. Music connects deeply with us. So we're going to spend this summer in this series called Summer Playlists. We're going to be in it for 4 years, four years, four, no, those are Virgil's favorite series, or the four-year long ones, but this one's not. 4 weeks, and then a break, and then a few more weeks later in the summer. But we're going to be in it this summer playlist, studying a different kind of playlist. Not necessarily the ones we've been talking about, but studying an ancient playlist, studying the book of Psalms. A lot of you know, some of you may not know, that most of the Psalms in the book of Psalms in the Old Testament were originally written as music, right? They're originally written as songs, which is interesting to me because just like music connects with us on a deep level, how many times in your journey, whether you've followed Jesus for very long or not, have the Psalms connected with you in a deep way, in a significant moment in your life? How many times have you been at a funeral and heard, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He walks me through the deepest valley, through the valley of the shadow of death." Or been in a time of turmoil and in Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God." Or been in a time of decision and read, "Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord." These ancient songs connect with us in a deep, deep way. And so this is going to be our playlist this summer. Psalm chapter 62. Psalm chapter 62 is a song or a psalm that's been on my personal playlist since 1999. Spring of 1999, I was a junior at Mid-America Nazarene University in Olathe, Kansas. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I was just kind of going through a funk, right? I was a junior in college. Like I said, I was ending my junior year, looking on toward my senior year and realizing the weight of that, right? The weight of the next year of my life and what was coming down the pipe and understanding that, man, it's almost time to like be an adult and do adult things and get a job and all that kind of stuff. And just the weight of that was on me heavy, right? And I was also kind of in a period of questioning my calling. Like, is this, I was studying to be a pastor, a religion major, speaking of nerdy, religion major, but I was studying to be a pastor, but questioning that, like, is that really what I'm supposed to do? I don't know, right? All my friends that are religion majors, they seem so into it and excited about it and have these awesome stories of how God's called them, and I don't really have that. Is that really what I'm supposed to do? I was questioning that, and I'd gotten, you know, my identity tied up in some of the wrong stuff, through college, relationships and stuff like that, and I was kind of feeling the challenge by the pull by God to change some of that, right? To rearrange my thinking and my faith and to grow up a little bit. And so I just, my thinking, my faith, emotionally, I was just kind of went through a period where I was sort of in chaos a little bit. I was sort of in upheaval a little bit internally. And I remember very clearly one night I was sitting on my bunk. I lived in a room with four guys. We had these bunk beds, and I went back in the bedroom by myself, and I was like, I'm not getting over this. Like, I'm not kicking this thing. It had been like a while. I'd been dealing with this funk, dealing with this chaos internally. I was like, I'm not getting through this. I'm not punching through. I need some help. And so I called my dad up, and I was unloading this stuff all on my dad. And my dad was probably like, what is happening right now, right? But he listened, and he guided me gently as he always did. And before we hung up, he said, "Son, you should check out Psalm chapter 62. It's a passage that has guided me through some of those chaotic times, some of those times of upheaval in my life." So we're going to study a little bit together today. Psalm chapter 62. If you'd like to read along in one of the Bibles in the seat back in front of you, it's on page 394. If you don't have a Bible, you're welcome to take that one with you. It is going to be on the screen today as well because I'm reading from a little bit different version from the NLT today. Just love how this the language in the New Living Translation, so it'll be on the screen as well if you want to follow along. Psalm chapter 62, we're going to read verses 1 through 8 and study them today. It says this, "I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. So many enemies against one man, all of them trying to kill me. To them I'm just a broken down wall or a tottering fence. They plan to topple me from my high position. They delight in telling lies about me. They praise me to my face, but curse me in their hearts. Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and my honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. O my people, trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart to Him, for God is our refuge." Let's pray together. Father, we are desperate to hear your voice this morning through your word. We are here for you. We are here for your purpose. I pray our hearts, our minds, our emotions, our wills would be sensitive to your spirit, to your leading today, Lord. We need you. We need your truth. Help our ears to be open. In Jesus' name, amen. So what I want to do for a little bit today to start off is sort of take a kind of back off and take a wide angle look at this passage. Okay, Psalm 62, 1 through 8. I want to take a wide angle look at it. So if this is a song, right, and if we were listening to this song today, all right, let's say we put it to music, that's kind of how I want to think about this song for a minute, okay? And so if that's what we're doing, there would be some different verses, not the verses that are listed here, but some different verses or maybe movements to this song. And so I want to look at it in three different sections today. The first section, the first movement, the first verse, whatever you want to call it, is verses 1 and 2. This is a very kind of serene sounding lyric here, right? Kind of a very, very calming lyric to read. I wait quietly before God. And so I imagine if this was a song we were listening to today, it'd probably be like nice soft piano music behind it, right? Like, you remember Jim Brickman? Anybody remember Jim Brickman? Like, he was a popular piano player. So like Jim Brickman playing in the background, and maybe even like some like nature sounds mixed in, you know, like birds chirping or stream running, like a mountain stream running in the background. It's very calm music, right? Very calm sounding verse. That's quiet confidence. And here's what David says. He says, I wait quietly before God. I'm content. I'm just content to be in God's presence. That's what he's saying, right? I'm just content. I'm just good being here. This is the only place I need to be. So I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from him. My only hope of winning in this life comes from him and him alone, from nowhere else. He alone is my rock or my strength. He alone is my salvation or my source of well-being or my source of right standing with God. He's my fortress or my defense. He's my defense against attack, my fortress where I will never be shaken, where I won't falter and fail, but where I will stand strong and firm in my faith. David just kind of communicates this calm, quiet confidence in God, this truth of who God is, this truth of who God has called him to be in relationship to him, just content to be in his presence, content to trust in him, content to just be there with this confidence and this trust in God. That's verse 1. Second verse, the mood changes of the song a little bit, okay? When we get to verse 3 in the psalm, the mood changes drastically, actually. And so I imagine if verses 3 and 4, the second movement, if this was a song, this would probably be a song that a lot of us would be like, hey, could you turn that down a little bit? That's a little aggressive for me, right? So we go from nice piano music in verses 1 and 2 to, like, you remember Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future where he's got the guitar and he, like, strums it and it throws him through the wall? Anybody remember that? We go to, like, metal, right? We go to electric guitar and metal in the second movement of this song. So verses 3 and 4, which will be on the screen shortly, say this. This is kind of the reality, right? So you've got the truth that David, this is who God is, I'm confident in him. But then you've got these verses that talk about the reality that David is facing in his life, and it changes moods completely, right? He says, so many enemies against one man, all of them trying to kill me. David had very real enemies. This wasn't just a figurative thing, right? Not just the spiritual enemy that we all share. He had real human physical enemies. He was a king, and he had other kings trying to kill him. He even had his own son, Absalom, for a time trying to kill him, trying to take him out. He says, so many enemies, so many people are after me, so many enemies against one man, all of them trying to kill me. Literally, take me out, take my life. To them, I'm just a broken down wall or a tottering fence. He's just saying they just kind of consider me trash, consider me something annoying that's in my way. If you had a half a shed wall or something still standing in your backyard or a fence that was falling over, you just rip it out and get rid of it, right? That's what he's saying. I'm just in their way. They just consider me in the way. They just consider me trash. They're just trying to take me out and toss me aside. They plan to topple me from my high position, from his position as king. They want to take me out. They just want to kill me. They want my job. They delight in telling lies about me. They're trying to discredit me. They're trying to take away my ability to lead Israel, take away my ability to influence and lead my people. He says, they praise me to my face. They pretend like they're my friend. They come and they counsel with me. They pretend like they're on board with me. But in real life, they curse me. In real life, they're very literally trying to stab me in the back. What a chaotic scene, right? What a chaotic life to live. Like, people are after you. They're trying to kill you. People are talking trash about you. They're talking nice to your face. They're talking trash to you, to your back, right? They're discrediting you, telling lies about you. What a chaotic reality that David has dealt with, right? So you've got these two different verses, these two different movements in the song. You first start with truth. This is the confidence. This is truth, the confidence I have in God. But there's this other thing that's also true, and that's the reality of the circumstances in my life. And those are in complete shambles, complete chaos, complete upheaval. People are trying to kill me, take me out. I'm afraid for my life. I can't do anything right in these people's eyes. It's just horrible, right? What an awful way to live. I don't know about you. I've never had anybody trying to kill me. But I wouldn't want to live that way, right? It'd be horrible. It'd be chaotic set of circumstances. So you've got the truth of who God is. The second movement that's also true, this reality of what David's life has looked like. And if I'm David, like, I'm probably retaliating, right? If I'm David, I'm probably going, I gotta take care of these guys before they kill me. I gotta kill them first. I gotta do something about this. I gotta defend my name. Tell these people this stuff isn't true. Right? I've got to defend my crown. I've got to do something about these people that are double-crossing me. I got to get them out of my way, right? But David's response, is simply this. Let all that I am wait quietly before God. In the midst of completely chaotic circumstances that he had experienced, David's response in his heart was to return to the truth that he knew. I wait quietly before God. My hope is in him, everything I need. He's my rock, he's my strength, my salvation, my fortress, my victory, my honor. He's my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. They might reach my body, they might take my life, who knows? They might reach my throne, they might take my job, they might discredit me, but they can never touch my faith. God is a refuge where no enemy can reach me. Trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. What a response to the chaos. I wait silently. I run to the truth that I know. I return to the truth that I know about God in the most chaotic, the most ridiculous of times. This was David's heart. And you don't have to study the life of David very deeply to see that this type of chaos was kind of the norm for him throughout his life, right? I mean, he seemed like he was always caught up in some sort of like crazy story. I mean, even as a kid, he was named the next king of Israel, or a future king of Israel, and he was, that didn't sit very well with some people. And then he was, as a kid, he was thrust into war, right? So you've all heard the story of David and Goliath, same dude, right? So he's thrust into war as a kid, as a king. He made some really, really boneheaded decisions with women he wasn't married to and that were married to other people, and that created all kinds of havoc for him. I mean, it just seemed like this was kind of a repeated theme in David's life, that it was just sort of chaos. Chaos was the norm for him. And a lot of us, I think, can relate to that. I think we can relate to that. Probably not for the same reasons, right? Probably not people trying to kill you today, hopefully. If not, I mean, if so, maybe just like raise your hand so we can see it, right? Don't like give us a signal, like, and we'll call the police. I see Jason's still back there. We can get him in here, help you out. But for other reasons, a lot of us, chaos is the norm in our lives, right? I mean, we just came through a family series. A lot of times family issues cause chaos in our lives. A lot of times work issues cause chaos in our lives. Financial issues create chaos in our lives. And sometimes it's not externally motivated. Sometimes it's just those internal things, like I talked about earlier in my journey through college, right? Sometimes we get in our own head and the enemy gets to attacking us, and we struggle to find peace emotionally or mentally or spiritually. Things are just kind of chaotic and in upheaval. Beyond the personal stuff, our world, I mean, my goodness, like, I don't even have to make the argument. Our world is chaotic, right? The culture, the world we live in is just crazy. It's chaotic. You never know what's going to happen one day to the next. I think for a lot of us today, chaos is sort of the norm. We've gotten used to it. Upheaval, lack of peace is kind of the norm. But what I want us to learn from David today is this, is that where chaos is the norm, quiet is the cure. Where chaos is the norm, quiet is the cure. Where chaos is the norm in our lives, the response that David shows us is the step. It is the step. It is the thing that we need to find peace and to find progress and to even thrive in times like these, in the lives that we live, even in the midst of chaos. So we're going to talk about, for the rest of our time, what's that look like? quiet. Or chaos is the norm, quiet is the cure. What does that mean? What does that look like? When David says, let all that I am wait quietly before God, what does it mean to have a quiet heart, to develop a quiet heart before God, to wait on him, to wait silently? We're going to talk about that. And there's three different shapes that sort of takes in my thinking that are all connected to each other. And the first thing is this, is that quiet is a practice. Quiet is a practice. You know, when David said, let all that I am wait quietly before God, that's not like a figurative, metaphorical type statement. That was something that we know he practiced regularly. In fact, these Psalms, that's where they came from, was his time with God. His time where he hit pause and stopped and pulled back from the norm and just spent time practicing quiet, just practicing, just being in the presence of God, practicing disciplines. And just like David, this is something we need in our lives too. If we want to develop our relationship with God to the point where, like David, we can say, my confidence is in him, I trust in him, then we've got to make space, carve out space, carve out time in our lives to practice quiet, to practice just being with him, to practice pursuing him through different disciplines, like reading the word and prayer and just sitting and being quiet. And if my word's not enough on that, let's look at our master, Jesus. One of my favorite scriptures in the past few months is Luke 5:16. In Luke 5:16, you see the simple statement. It says, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness to pray. Jesus often, he regularly withdrew. He regularly left the grind, left the chaos, left the norm to go to the wilderness. The word there that wilderness comes from is eremos, which means the desolate place or the quiet place, someplace away from the noise, away from the crowd. Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for what? To pray, to commune with his Father, to return to the truth that he knew, to recenter on his purpose and his plan and why he was there. Jesus himself, our Savior, our Master, often withdrew to the wilderness to pray. And here's what I love most about this verse. If you read through Luke 5, it's you come to this sentence and you're almost like, oh, that's kind of weird that that's there. Like, I think maybe they meant to put it somewhere else, or I think maybe they forgot to tell the story behind this, or they forgot to give us any context or background as to what is going on here, because there's really no info about it. It's just there. It's just stuck there, right? You've got all this awesome stuff happening. You've got Jesus traveling from town to town, and you've got this huge following that's beginning to come and hear Jesus preach. Hundreds, thousands of people by this point coming to hear Jesus preach. Kind of this, probably a very chaotic scene, I would imagine, all these people being around. You've got Jesus healing people, doing miracles, all this awesome stuff happening in the life of Jesus. His ministry is just starting to really, really gain in traction, and he's really, really, you know, people are seeing the truth of who he is. And right in the middle of all this, just like, stop. Also, Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness to pray, right? Like this reminder, even Jesus, even our master, in the midst of good things, positive things, obviously, regularly stopped and waited. Regularly waited quietly before God, withdrew to return to the truth he knew, the truth of the Father's mission for him, and his connection with God the Father. Jesus regularly withdrew to the wilderness to pray. Quiet is a practice, and it's a practice we need in our lives too, to make time and space, just to be with God and develop that relationship. Quiet is also a perspective. Quiet means gaining perspective. See, when we, a lot of times when we are in the middle of chaotic times, my tendency anyway, I don't know about you, but my tendency is I need to do more to fix all this, right? I need to do more. I need to do better. I need to, you know, I've got to make this, deal with this chaos in my life. I've got to do more to make it all go away. I've got to step up my game, whatever you want to say. I've got to get more busy, right? The thing is, when I do that, I'm just adding to the chaos, right? And so I need some perspective on my situation. I wasn't smart enough to know it at the time, but when I called my dad all those years ago, what I was really asking for was, give me a different perspective, and that's exactly what it did. He gave me an eternal, a God-focused perspective on what I was dealing with. So here's the deal. Here's the perspective we need that comes from practice. When I decide I'm going to stop and wait quietly on God, develop my relationship with him, return to the truth I know in him, build that into my life on a regular basis. What I come to understand is that he alone is my source and not my own activity, not my own strength, not my own ability or wisdom to deal with the chaos, to deal with life. But it comes from him twice in this passage. It says, he alone is. He alone is. That's our perspective. It's an eternal perspective, a godly perspective. And sometimes we get tunnel vision and can't see that. But when we stop and practice and take time to be quiet, a lot of times God allows us to see the big picture, to see an eternal perspective on what he's doing, to see the truth that my victory doesn't come from my own effort. Any way I'm going to win in this life is only going to come from him. My honor, my name is only going to, the only name that matters is the name he gives me, the way he sees me, right? He's my refuge. He's my safe place. He's my strength. He's my salvation. My right standing with God isn't dependent on my activity. It's not dependent on my effort. My ability to perform is dependent only on the grace of God and what he has chosen to do for me. Quiet is perspective. Quiet is understanding that there's more at work than this chaos. There's more at work than this thing I'm focused on. And when I stop and return to the truth I know, return to confidence in God, God gives me an eternal perspective on my situation. And finally, quiet is about our position. It's about taking a position of trust, trusting God. See, when David stopped, when he said, let all that I am wait quietly before God, that's what he's talking about. He's like, I'm stopping and I'm putting myself in a position saying, this chaos isn't about my agenda, it's not about my needs. I'm just going to stop and trust in what God is doing here. The word wait, let all that I am wait quietly. I wait quietly before God. It says it twice there in that passage. I'm going to be honest. I struggle mightily with waiting. Anybody else struggle with that? Like I hate waiting on people, right? I hate waiting on anything. I went to pick my daughter up from cheer camp yesterday, and at the end we had to wait forever for him to finish up, and I was like, you could have been done an hour ago if you'd let me be in charge, but instead, here I am waiting on you people, right? Like, I hate waiting, and here's why I hate waiting, is because when we have to wait on somebody else, what we're being forced to say, maybe what we're choosing to say, is you go first, right? You go first. I'm going to wait. You go first. And what David's talking about is not a forced thing, right? But a choice to say to God, I'm going to wait on you. God, you go first. In the moments of chaos, and the moments I don't understand in life, with everything that's going on, God, I'm not going to try to handle that on my own, but God, I'm going to stop and wait in quiet and say, your agenda first, your will first, your truth first. And when we stop and practice and gain perspective, what we're really doing is taking a position of trust and saying, God, I'm done doing it my way. I can't make it go away. I can't fix the chaos. I can't deal with it. But I trust you to do so. I trust in your will to make it happen. Not to just help me survive in chaos, but to thrive. So, here's the question for us. All of these things require, all three of these things are kind of similar but different, but they all require us hitting pause in our lives, right? They all require us making space in our lives for it to happen. If I'm going to practice quiet, I've got to hit pause on my agenda and choose the time to do that. If I'm going to gain perspective, I've got to hit pause on my own agenda, on my own thoughts, and I've got to make the space to do that. If I'm going to take a position of trust, I've got to hit pause on my own efforts and make a choice, make space in my life to say, God, I trust you. I'm going to wait on you. So my question for us this morning is simply this. Where are you going to hit pause in your life this week? Where are you going to hit pause and stop, and practice quiet, gain perspective, and take a position of trust? So we're gonna close by practicing today, okay? We're gonna practicing. We're gonna take some time just to kind of be quiet before the Lord today and kind of reflect. And I just want to challenge you to ask yourself the question, like, where do I need to put quiet into practice in my life? Where do I need to gain perspective? And how am I taking a position of trust in my life? Or where do I need to decide I'm going to trust rather than lean on my own effort? And, you know, this week has been a doozy of a week. I love that word, doozy. Don't you love that word? It's just lots of stuff going on, and everything kind of hit at once. And on Tuesday or afternoon of this week, God was like, "Do you really believe what you're going to say Sunday? Because we're about to find out." Okay, do you really believe in stopping and trusting and practicing quiet in your life? Because things were very, very, very not quiet. And I took some time just to say, "All right, God, I'm just gonna stop." You ever just need to stop? You ever get frustrated and mad and say things you shouldn't? Just be like, "All right, I need to stop. I need to walk away." Yeah, that was kind of the moment I was in. So I stopped and I just took some time and I put on a playlist. And this song, like, I don't even know why it came on this playlist, but it came up. It's called "Give Me Jesus." It's an old, super old hymn. And this arrangement's by a country singer named Mo Pitney, which I literally had never heard of. I have zero Mo Pitney music in my library. I don't know who he is. Still don't know who he is. I just know he did this arrangement of this song. Anyway, it came on, and in the middle of this, like me just like feeling overwhelmed and feeling like things were chaotic and feeling like I needed to just, you know, how am I going to handle all this? How am I going to respond to all this? These lyrics came on. "In the morning when I rise, just give me Jesus. When I'm alone, just give me Jesus. When I come to die, just give me Jesus." In the chorus, you can have all this world, but just give me Jesus. And that's exactly the lesson that David is teaching in this psalm. There's so much chaos. There's so much stuff out there. But at the end of the day, the desire of our heart as believers is just give me Jesus. I don't need anything else. I'm going to choose to make space for him. I'm going to choose his perspective, and I'm going to choose to trust him. And so as you think about those questions today, I want to challenge you to just take a step. Man, if you need to practice quiet in your life, when are you going to do that? Make a decision right now. Write it down. Put a reminder in your phone. If you need to stop and gain perspective, one great way to do that is to have a conversation with somebody about your situation. Like, and in these moments, I want to challenge you to text somebody and say, "Hey, I got a lot going on. I just need to talk to somebody about it." Text me. I'd love to talk to you. Text Virgil. Text Nick. Anybody around here. We'd love to talk. Sometimes to gain perspective, we need to take a day off. Maybe schedule that. Say, "Hey, I'm going to take a day off this week and just kind of be focused on God." Maybe as a family, man, schedules get crazy as a family. That's the season we're in. What about as a family? What if you leaned over to your spouse and said, "You know what? Next Saturday, we're just going to stop. We're going to practice, and we're going to gain perspective on our situation. We're going to return to truth as a family." Maybe set the phone off for a day. Gain some perspective on your situation. Or maybe today you're at a point where you're ready to trust, right? You're ready to take that position of trust and say, "Man, I'm tired of messing with this stuff. I'm tired of trying to deal with the chaos on my own. God, I'm done. I wait quietly before you for your will instead of mine." If that's you today, make a decision. Make it right now. You can come and pray at the altars. We don't talk about that a lot, but there's nothing like magical here. But in moments like these where I'm choosing to trust God, it's just a cool step to say, "All right, it's scary, but God, I'm choosing to trust you. I'm physically responding to say to you, God, I trust you." We'd love for you to do that. If you'd like to pray with somebody, I'm standing right here. Virgil's right here. Nick's going to be in here in a second. We'd love to pray with you. But I want to take a moment and practice and challenge you to take a practical step as we listen to this song and as we worship. What step will you take today? How will you practice? How will you change perspective? How will you take a position of trust in your life? I guess the question boils down to, what playlist are you listening to? What voices are you listening to? Is it a playlist that's leading your life toward chaos or toward the peace that Christ longs to bring? Let's take a moment.